I hated funerals. They smelled like lilies and sadness. There were too many hugs and soggy tissues, and the black dress I found on the Target clearance rack made my neck itch where the tag curled against my skin. "I'm so sorry for y'all's loss, Scarlet." Bernie O'Dell's stoop-shouldered six-foot frame engulfed me in an awkward hug. He'd closed up the barbershop today for the funeral. He'd been one of Jonah Bodine's only friends who'd stuck with him until the bitter end, even when he no longer deserved friends. I gave Bernie a weak smile and a pat on the arm. "Daddy was always grateful for your friendship." Bernie's eyes misted, and I handed him off to Bowie, my good brother. Not that Jameson and Gibson were bad, but Bowie was a high school vice principal. He was used to dealing with emotions that terrified the rest of us. "God has a plan," Sally Mae Brickman announced with a reassuring squeeze on my hand. Her hands were always ice cold no matter what time of year. It could have been 100 degrees on the 4th of July, and Sally Mae's hands could keep her lemonade half frozen. "I'm sure he does," I said. Anything but sure there was a plan or a God. But if it made Sally Mae feel better to believe, then by all means she was welcome to the faith. The receiving line was getting backed up like a bad septic system, with Bernie sharing a fishing story with Jameson. My brother was something of a reclusive artist, and this was probably his personal nightmare. Our father dead in a box behind him and a line out the door of well-meaning bootleggers. Bootleg Springs, West Virginia, was, in my humble opinion, just about the best place in the world to live. We had a storied history of bootlegging during Prohibition. My own great-grandfather, Jedediah Bodine, was legend here for bringing prosperity to our tiny town with his moonshine and hooch. And we were in the midst of a tourism boom thanks to our hot springs and half-dozen spas. We were small but mighty. Everyone knew everyone. And when one of us died, no matter their standing in the community while living, we all spiffed up, baked our casseroles, and shared our condolences. "Hey, babe." Cassidy Tucker, the prettiest, snarkiest deputy in all of West Virginia, was dressed in her uniform and dragging her sister June along behind her. My best friend since preschool, Cassidy knew exactly the hot mess that was stewing beneath my sad countenance. I hugged her hard and dragged Junebug into our embrace. June thumped me on the back twice. "I'm sure you're relieved you don't have to worry about your father's public intoxication anymore," she said gruffly. I blinked. June was different. Human relationships bewildered her. She was much happier spouting off sports stats than making small talk. But that didn't stop me and Cassidy from forcing her into social situations. Besides, she was a bootlegger. Everyone here was used to her quirks. "That's a good point, June," I said. Everyone else was too polite to mention the fact that my father drank himself to death. But just because he made really shitty life choices didn't mean he wasn't part of the fabric of bootleg. We all tended to forget shortcomings when the person was laid out in a satin-lined box in the bootleg community church. "What?" June asked Cassidy, raising her eyebrows as they stepped on down the line. Cassidy patted June on the shoulder. Old Judge Carwell grasped my hand in both of his, and I sneaked a peek to my right at Bowie. He was hugging Cassidy, with his eyes closed. I made a mental note to rib him about it later. "Smelling a deputy's hair at your father's funeral, Bowie? Just ask the girl out for fuck's sake."
"Sorry about your daddy, Scarlet,"
Judge Carwell wheezed. The man had been looking to retire from his judgeship for 15 years now, but Olamette County wouldn't hear of it. Change didn't come easy in bootleg. "Thank you, sir," I said. "And please thank Mrs. Carwell for the cornbread she sent over." Carolina Ray Carwell's cornbread was famous in 4 counties. I'd wrestled Gibson, my oldest brother, for the last piece this morning. I fought dirty enough that I won.